Tara Mahadevan.
What up, Kevin?
Wow, that's a low energy. Hi.
What up, Kevin?
Okay, Cuban? Thank you.
What up? What up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I see you have a lot of goodies with you today.
None of them are food.
Okay,
so
I know.
It really doesn't matter.
Okay. But you could have some of those
bag.
If you wish.
That's better than food.
Yeah.
Look. I know, but will it nourish my stomach?
Hell yeah, one day.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Right, right.
Depending on what you got that day.
Well, look, already our incredible guest has introduced themselves vocally, which is a rarity for our guest.
I'm sorry.
Really?
No, you're great. Yeah, no. Sometimes, but you know.
Had, like, no 3, 2, 1.
No, we just did it.
Quiet on the mic.
But very much, yeah, I say a rarity because known as a, well, say it.
Oh, just. No, go ahead.
I know why you're gassed right now. I think maybe, but
it's a St. Louis connection.
Exactly, hey. Exactly. From the Lou, producer, DJ, a creator of a brand new project that is stunning called Study Hall. Just so excited for what she will continue to give to the sonic landscape of the city of the Midwest of the planet Earth.
Hey.
Ambi Lyrics is in.
What's
the
up,
building.
What's up? Oh,
hey.
Wow.
Yeah. Was it called a rap horn?
Yeah, it's my rap horn app.
We turned up in here.
Hey, thank you so much for being here.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure, and we're excited to talk to you about a lot of things, but before we do.
Also, wait, there are more people, because everyone left.
Yeah.
There are more people from St. Louis here than people from Chicago in this spaceship.
I feel like that's not true, but all right.
What do you mean? In this?
Right now.
In this vicinity.
Oh, yeah. In the triangle.
You know? Yeah, we outnumber
2-1. We out here.
Okay. Her. I know. But okay. Mid-best in the building. Come on, y'all. I mean, right, you know.
Right. I mean, I just wanted to put that out.
Okay. That's fair. I'm not
it's
skirt.
Baseball
I'm not,
season
look.
Two. I just wanted to put that
oh,
out.
Oh, okay.
You feel
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I'm not skirt.
But you're not okay. really a. Okay. Don't ever say
okay.
that. And also, you're not like a lover of the Cubs.
I will.
Not
I
necessarily.
My dad has been a Cubs fan since 1943. So
see,
I am
St. Louis. They like instill that.
That's what I'm saying.
Can I say shit?
Yeah, you can
you
say,
can
whatever,
say
you
whatever you
want.
Want.
Yeah, yeah. Please, right, please
cool.
go.
Not well,
yeah.
They instill it into you, like. If
even
I got,
if you don't even like baseball, you're a Cardinals,
you're a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, like yeah. if I got like above a 3.0 in school, they would like give us Cardinals tickets.
Oh, really?
Wow. On everything, I swear.
Were you a good student?
Kinda.
Okay, not for the Cards
yeah.
tickets though.
I mean, I did.
Okay,
every
yeah,
year,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Because you're wearing a Cards hat right
yeah.
now, so it seems like you rep.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Cardinals fan.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you just hear what I said about?
I did.
Always,
I did.
Yeah,
I, can I tell you? Can I tell you though? These are facts coming up. I actually was kind of a Cardinals fan because because
hey,
Ozzie Smith was that dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Willie McGee was that dude.
Mark McGwire is my favorite player.
Mark McGwire, yeah, minus played. The steroids, but yeah,
I mean,
it's you know, hey, allegedly.
Yeah,
I wasn't there.
He was a good hitter, though.
He yeah, and steroids usually helps
so
push the ball off
who,
the park. But yeah.
who didn't really pay attention to baseball, but I love the Cards.
But you
if
know,
you're about to talk shit, then...
No. I'm okay. not talking shit there. About the Cards.
No, I know you weren't. I was just saying, like, if you were, I was there.
Ozzie Smith is that dude. Probably
also,
the
Ozzie
goat
Smith
at the position.
Also, Ozzie Smith been to my mom crib.
Oh, talk about
yeah.
it.
Okay, now everyone from Chicago's back in.
Yeah, you already
it's
know.
Okay, man.
So Ambi, we do have really some snacks for you.
Okay.
Out to the corner store. Our corner store this evening was very bougie because we were close. But here, first of all, we have some plantain chips for you.
Plantain.
Yeah, I don't know if you enjoy those.
Yeah, man.
You know, please feel free to eat now or share or keep them for later. We also have some.
I feel like if I eat these, I'm gonna be like that. That video of that lady where she like up against the mic just eating her food.
Oh yeah.
No. We like
but
sound
we
effects.
We like
though.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Okay, okay. So do your thing. We also have some gummy bears, probably quieter for the listening audience. And then I don't know how you feel about this particular beverage, but we have a naturally flavored root beer.
Okay.
You. I don't know if you.
I'm gonna pass on that.
Okay.
But,
yeah. All right.
I'm gonna fuck with the gummy bears.
Or do you want a can of green tea?
Green tea.
Yeah. Absolutely. Here, I'll trade you back. There you go.
You,
see? There you go. Here we are.
Word.
And well, welcome.
Word.
And, you know, we're going to get to Study Hall.
Okay.
And I can't wait to talk about the project.
Okay.
But I think, Tara, we're going to go all the way back, right?
All the way.
Oh, and, yeah, let's go.
Right. I mean, are you born and bred in the Lou?
In the Lou.
Okay.
Since 1991.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's talk about it. Who was a young Ambi as a kid? Like, your parents are from where, and what did they do? And give us, you know, set the stage for how you emerge in the world.
Well, my mom and dad, they grew up in Mississippi, but then they like moved to St. Louis with my grandma and grandpa.
Oh, wow.
And they stayed there. And then, I don't know.
What did they do, your folks?
Well, my mom was a nurse, but she also has epilepsy. So she didn't get to like fulfill her path all the way to be a nurse. So, yeah.
And so did she, was she able to do anything? Or?
I mean, she raised us,
right,
me and my brother.
Yeah, let's
and
go.
It's me and Jonathan. They have like the same mom and dad, but my dad was like a heavy ass Rolling Stone. So he got like 8 kids.
I like how you phrased that.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a Rolling Stone and he had like 8 more kids outside of me and my brother.
Wow. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
He's really putting together a team.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's cool.
Yeah,
I think I like my brothers and sisters.
You know all of them?
Yeah, you
I know every
them?
Last one of them. Mm. We are like very family oriented.
That's so nice.
All in the Lou?
All in the Lou.
Wow.
All in St. Louis. Except for Jonathan. He moved to D.C. He's like becoming a pastor.
That's immediate
my brother.
Brother.
Yeah, right away.
And so in the 10, where do you reside as
I'm
a
the
sibling?
Baby.
You're the baby.
Yeah. I like being a baby. You know what I'm saying? I get to
feel
be cute because I'm a baby.
Right. You get away with a lot of shit.
Man, not really.
Oh,
I was actually the baby, and I was actually bad. Like, I was worse than everybody else because I was the baby.
Right.
Right, because
I feel like if you were one of the older ones, like, you wouldn't get away with half as much shit.
Man, my older brothers and sisters got away with everything. Everything.
You still feel a little salty, I can
tell.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Okay.
Man.
Right. It's all right. It's all right. But you would see the 10 coming up. You would see your pops coming up.
We would always go to like my grandma's house and stuff. Actually, my dad died when I was 9, so I didn't really see him as much. But I mean, it was straight.
Yeah,
I'm actually adopted too, so I got adopted at the age of 10 by my mom's best friend.
Mm. Oh yeah, I feel like I remember you telling me that.
We've definitely talked about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, but tell us that story. I mean, so how did that?
All right,
and
I'm
going to
just tell that to everybody.
Is that okay?
I mean, we straight. It's cool. It's my life, so
okay.
I can't really, like, run from it. But my dad died when I was 9 at the house with me and my brother. And basically, like, my mom had went on a cruise or whatever. Like, he paid for her and her sisters to, like, go on a cruise and whatnot. And we weren't allowed to, like, touch the thermostat. So we had to, like, ask my dad, like, or my mom, hey, can you, like, turn the thermostat down, like it's too hot or it's too cold in here. And I actually don't touch thermostats at all because of that. But I wanted to turn the heat down because it was too hot. So I like tried to wake my dad up, and I like remember sitting eating like cereal, watching cartoons, and like my brother was upstairs, so I had to call him downstairs and like tell him, hey, like my daddy not waking up, like can you come turn the heat down or like wake him up some way somehow. And the whole time he had been dead. So when my mom came back, she had just went on a cruise. Like, he literally died the same day that she went on a cruise. And, like, when she came back, he had already been, like, buried, had a funeral and everything.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So,
and there was no way you couldn't get a hold of her? Or?
No. Like, when you're on a cruise that you already know,
out,
like, you're out of touch with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, you're just...
And you don't have cell phones or Wi-Fi and all that.
And, it, like,
stuff.
That wasn't even, like... That was like good back then, like
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that was probably like what, like 10 years ago. Nah, that was like.
How old are you?
I'm 26, about to be 27.
Okay, yeah, so long. I mean, longer.
Long as hell. So yeah, but I mean, we had like people in our family and like close to my mom that basically was like, look, we want to keep these kids around their family and like around their mom throughout this duration of time. That like my mom got sick after that, like. Imagine coming home and like your family's completely dismantled type shit. So she just kind of like had to let somebody else take on her parenting responsibilities. But like
she got sick after she came back.
Yeah, I mean, no, she always had epilepsy.
Okay, okay.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
But it got worse.
Yeah, it got worse.
Yeah.
Like she started having like grandma seizures and shit, like to the point where like she couldn't like physically function to do nothing, and like you got to take care of your kids. But like, so as she got better, you know what I'm saying, she talk, walk, do everything pretty well now, so it's good.
That's good.
And so you were adopted
by Claudia Perlette. That's my foster mother, and that's my mother's best friend. They worked at the hospital together.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so did you know her prior to being adopted? Yeah. And you were always cool with her.
She like kept us in the like a good school and everything. Like we still got to go to my mama's house on the weekend and like see her and stuff and like be around my family. So.
And did she have kids?
Yeah. She got two kids of her own, and then she adopted another kid who also went to school with us.
Wow.
But he was like, we were like friends of like her kids and stuff too. So it was like, why not like keep the family together type thing. So, and she could do it. Like, she's an orthopedic surgeon, so pretty sure she'd be straight.
She adopted your brother too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so, and she was married?
Or, yeah.
Okay.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I guess as a young person coming up in that environment, in that household, what kind of, like who even at that age, like what kind of kid were you? I mean,
I was quiet. Like, I'm still like introverted as hell. Like, I go into parties and like kind of like look around and observe and like see what's up, say what's up to everybody, and then kind of like go to the back to be with.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure also the conditions around that also maybe propels one inward in part, because
I was bad though. Like, I would just do stuff just to do it. Like, because I was bored. St. Louis can get boring. Tell them, Tara. Like,
yeah.
St. Louis can get very boring.
I'd be sitting in the crib.
Really? I love St. Louis. I have a very good time.
No, St. Louis. That's not
what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But it's just,
man, the dumbest stuff happened.
So what kind of stuff would you get into as a kid? Like, I mean, like from like the pedestrian to like the wildest shit. Yeah.
I mean, what do you want to tell us?
I mean, look, I'm sure the statute of limitations has been in effect.
Whatever,
you're
going
to be good.
Know,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Legend.
I mean, shit, I hope my coworker's not listening. But
let them know. Let them know who young Ambie used to be.
Tell them what it is.
You could have changed your ways, you know? It's possible.
Absolutely. But all right, I guess I could tell this story. Like, all right,
do you want to check with a lawyer before I move?
No, good.
All right.
But look, so there was this one time that like my cousin, she like asked me to give her a ride somewhere, and I like just pulled up to the house, and like my family like literally lives on the same block. Like, St. Louis is very, very close knit. Like, it's similar to the South, but like it's not the South.
Yeah, I've gotten that feel. Yeah, absolutely.
Excuse me. So. Basically, she was like, hey, I need you to take me around the corner, drop this dog off. I'm like, all right, come on. She's like, all right, I'm going to give you some gas money. I'm like, bet. Like, I need some gas money anyways, around the corner. Yeah, get in the car. Man, she dropped this dog off and sold this lady dog that she got into a fight with down the street. Like, she fought the little girl, took the dog, and the lady who owned the dog had the dog as like a support dog because she had a heart attack.
Oh,
so she had the dog to like keep her happy,
calm, and you know alive. It sounds like
But my cousin is such a savage; she didn't care. Like, it was just like, all right, I'm about to sell this dog. She sold the dog. Remind you, it was a Yorkie. She sold the Yorkie for $50.
That's it?
For 50? I don't know. I guess she ain't like the girl or something.
I don't know how much Yorkies go for. Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like it's more than 50 bucks.
Man, I got
a special on the young
Yorkies.
She sold
the dog for $50 and gave me gas money. But I didn't know nothing about her selling the dog. Like, I literally thought she was taking the dog around the corner to like... I don't know what the hell. Shit, I didn't ask, but
right.
It was my cousin.
Right, so why would you be like, yo, where'd
man,
you
man, like a week later, the feds are at my door. Like,
whoa.
And my mom's like, hey, the police said you stole a dog. I'm like, what the fuck you talking about? I'm like, what you talking about, mama? Like, I stole a dog. Like, come on, what I look like, stealing a dog? And I had to remember, like, Brianna. Remind you, Brianna has done went out of town. She on like a whole retreat, so which is why the feds are at my door. And they're like, well, you're 18. She's only 16, so we gotta take you.
What?
So, I mean, I had to get booked. That wasn't the first time I got arrested, but we gonna just, you know, base it off of that one.
Okay, okay. All right. So, yeah. So there's some priors, literally.
Allegedly.
Okay. And then,
everything's expunged, though. You know, I got really, really, really good lawyers. So.
Listen, yeah. You will. I'm sure you have to, given your current occupation as well. So coming up, what music was around then? I mean, this is part of what you do. So, from a young age to, mm-hmm. in your teens, like, what was popping in the house? What were you listening to?
I was listening to Lil Boosie.
Okay.
That's it. Lil Boosie.
I'm gonna end on that.
Lil Boosie.
The way you said it.
I mean, if you literally ride through the streets of St. Louis, or like even go to like the parties and stuff, like they gonna play Lil Boosie. Like when I go home, I literally know I could play Lil Boosie. I could play Shawty Low. Anything that's completely ratchet and trap, I could definitely play. But they like Smino and stuff too, you know? Like, it's actually, like, people do have taste there, but like.
Well, a pussy is shorty.
Just
so
you said it.
Music. I mean, yeah.
There's a spectrum. I mean, yeah,
I
certainly there's a, like, there's
just,
a, yeah.
It's
just funny.
You're
funny. No, it's funny.
They have taste.
But, no, I was like a real heavy Ninth Wonder fan. So, and like Lil Brother, I listened to that so much. Like, the Minstrel Show is so, like.
Oh, my God. Classic. Yeah, and also one of the best groups and most slept on groups in the history of the genre. Yeah. So, but prior to that, I mean, what was your first introduction then to hip hop? Was it Boosie? Was it just you heard it in the neighborhood?
Ninth Wonder, Lil Brother.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Who put you onto that record? Because that seems like an odd record just out of the blue to get.
I don't even know.
Okay.
I do not know, but I just know when I heard it, it was just like, what is this? Who is this? How do I, like, find this? And I had like the old Microsoft computer with like the fat back on the end, so I would like wait for my computer to like turn on and like dial up to the internet.
Yeah.
And I would literally like go on the internet and watch Ninth Wonder interviews or like listen to the Minstrel Show or anything that he put out.
Is that like where your interest in music kind of started,
like to become a producer?
Or just, I don't know, just you thought you could do?
I love music.
Didn't you rap?
Oh, well, that was the, why you think it's amb, why, yes. Why you think it's ambi lyrics?
Oh, right. No, that's not why. But yes, I did used to rap. I honestly thought I would never have to talk about this ever again if I just vanished.
Wow, so
from
like
the rap
in
scene.
The back of my brain, it was somewhere.
Yeah, good job.
It's crazy because when you said whatever you said before you asked me, didn't you rap? I felt you about to ask me, didn't I rap?
I felt like
I
you felt,
felt
like I was going
to. I mean, can
to.
We get a, are you gonna, we going to get a,
old, you will not.
don't even get the
don't even sentence. Don't even put that out there. You was not getting nothing.
What would you rap under? What moniker?
My own stuff. Oh, you mean like.
Like what was your name?
Ambi
you,
Lyrics.
Oh, what? Okay. Yeah. All right. Hence the lyrics. Hence the lyrics.
Let's go back to the other question.
Okay.
Wait, what was the other question?
Was that like
the
impetus to make music? Like Ninth Wonder.
Yes. It wasn't like the initial reason. The initial reason that I even started making beats was because of Anita Baker. Like, I love Anita Baker, guys. Like, I love her music. I love like the instrumentation behind it. I love how like deep her voice is. It's kind of like Toni Braxton. Like when Toni Braxton came out, they kept comparing her to Anita Baker. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love her.
Yeah, they're amazing. So, and then how did you start to put it together in terms of being able? Did you rap before you made? No, but I mean, there's a lot of forays. Look, I started to break dance. Do you know what I mean? That was my, break dancing.
You're embarrassing yourself now.
No, but I'm saying there's a. Hey, listen, I'll get out some cardboard right now. You feel me? I know, but I'm saying there's a lot of forays into how you enter a creative space. So if you started rap, you started rap.
I did start rapping. I used to make these mixtapes in high school and sell them and like give
that's
them
raw.
I my still name, remember that.
Yeah, cut it out, man.
That's raw. What? That's not. Why is that embarrassing?
You about to like say a bunch of stuff and I'm about to jog.
I would like
my
come
memory.
Home with like a wad of money and my mom would be like, "Where you get this money from? Like, what are you doing?" Like, and they're all worn. So she's like, "What is you doing for this money? What are you doing for these ones?" Type shit. But like, I literally was just making mixtapes and selling them. But,
and you would record at the crib?
Yeah.
And you would
off
and then
a microphone off that Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I downloaded FL Studio and it was this program called Crystal, and you could record yourself on it. One of my friends had put me on because he was making mixtapes too, but my shit was hotter. So
listen.
Yeah, you already know. What's he doing now?
I don't even know
exactly.
Dude no more. You feel
exactly.
Me?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
You were also making beats then?
Yeah. Like, he had introduced me to FL Studio too. Like, he was like, "It's this free program that we could download." That's how I found out about Ninth Wonder. And he was like, "Ninth Wonder uses this program. Good job, guys. Good job." He's like, "Ninth Wonder uses this program, man." And like, I instantly was like, "All right, come on, let's do it." And I just started making beats. And like, FL has like the step sequencer. You can just like click it and like put the beats in like, I don't even know how to explain it. I would have to show you. But like, you could put it on a pattern and like you can create the pattern by clicking it. I didn't know anything about like chord progression, none of that, until like I actually started studying and learning about certain things that I didn't know. So,
do you still use FL?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, oh
wow. I use Logic too, though. Yeah. So I'm not gonna stunt.
So as a kid, when you were selling these tapes, what was get? Were you were nice and you just had confidence?
Yeah, I was
and,
just rapping.
Yeah.
But I didn't take it seriously, and I feel like if you're in a lane that you're crowding, and you know you shouldn't be crowding it.
You didn't take the rapping seriously.
Yeah,
you
know, I did not
get
and
out.
And if I'm not gonna do it for like 110%, like I'm not gonna do it at all. So I feel like I needed to move around.
And moving around for you then meant going just focusing on production.
I love making beats. Like, literally, I would take all my time up making beats and forget to rap over them.
Wow, that's raw. And when was the first time where you made a beat where you're like, oh shit, this is what I have the potential to do? Do you remember that beat or
when
where you were?
When I sold the first one, when I got to college.
Okay.
My beats in high school was trash.
Well, you got to start somewhere. Look, if I go back through my notebooks right now and I'm like, you know, I'd be like, please do not read my high school, college, or like shit I wrote yesterday. But I mean, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, so where did you go to school?
I went to Brentwood High School.
Uh-huh.
It's a predominantly white school. I was suspended my senior year right before I was about to graduate. They hated on me.
What happened?
Man, they tried to... Nah, I ain't even gonna say they tried to. Our gas was off. I had to do what I had to do, man. I had to, you know what I'm saying? I had to do some things to put some money in my mama's pocket.
Yeah.
And I did. And this girl who didn't like my girlfriend at the time, she told on me.
Yo.
But
damn.
The crazy thing is, the week before, like, this girl was like, you know how, like, if you get out of class, you're probably hanging out a little bit before your next class. We were hanging out on top of the stairs. Everybody, literally, even the teacher. I play basketball. Like, I literally thought I was going to play basketball for the rest of my life.
Wait, you hoop?
Yeah, I was actually going to go to DePaul to be redshirted.
Are you nice, though?
I'm cold.
What really?
I'm cold.
Wait,
you trying to play?
Yeah, what's up?
Let's go.
Whatever.
Let's go.
I'm just trying to facilitate.
I can't wait. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
But no, like, we were standing outside of class, and basically, like, she was playing too much by the stairs. It was too many people over there, and she was playing too much. And you know, like, the handicap ramps that are attached to the stairs that could, like, take the wheelchair down the stairs. She was playing too much, and, like, she was getting ready to fall down the stairs, and I grabbed her by her backpack and, like, tried to save her, like, from falling. But she was literally doing too much to where, like, it was like, all right, I could either fall down the stairs with you
or let
and
you
somebody
rock.
Really get hurt, or, like, I could just let you go and be like, look, I tried. You was moving. Like, I'm not going to save you if you drowning. Like, I'm going to try, but if you drowning me too, I'm going to let you go. And she tried to tell my principals that I pushed her down the stairs.
Damn.
And if it wasn't for my theater teacher, who was also white, they both were white. And, like, she told her no.
Wow.
She didn't push you down the stairs. I was right there. She tried to actually help you from falling down the stairs. She broke her wrist. And, mom went through, like, this big old thing where she was like, no, she pushed my kid. You're only keeping her because she plays basketball for you guys. And, like, the following week, she, like, made up a story and said I tried to sell her weed. And I didn't. But I did have some weed on me at school, though.
Right, but you were trying to sell it to her.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Corny ass.
So that's why you got suspended, though?
Yeah, and they actually tried to... they did suspend me 480 days. I didn't even have 180 days left. Never been suspended before in my life.
So were you not able to graduate,
though?
No.
Then? I mean, I was, just because, like, at the time, like, my foster father was also the superintendent for the district, and... he basically was like, look, like, one of the white kids here just brought in cocaine and you only suspended him for 3 days. You didn't have to have
that's
like, you didn't have to have
that's, fuck yeah, out that, of here.
That's
Brentwood.
The perfect
you
American microcosm. Yeah.
Like, people, I had a white girlfriend throughout most of my high school years. Like, we dated for 8.5 years. And people that's back home would get more upset about us being black and white than gay.
Right.
And neither one is okay, but it's just like, damn, like, really? I was so mad as a kid just because I felt like I was in a box and I had to stay there.
Was the school mostly white?
I literally was like one of 10 black kids there.
That's crazy. Even my school was.
You went to Ladue,
like
right?
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
I fucking hate Ladue.
That's fine.
I hate the cops there more than anything.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
You know, not.
They be. Yeah.
Well. Y'all basketball team, raw as hell. Y'all school raw too, though.
So you thought you were going to play for real? Like, you were going to go
I was actually going to be redshirted at DePaul my freshman year and, like, actually go onto the team, see what I could do. But I tore my MCL and ACL.
Oh, damn.
So
damn.
I had, like, you know, screws in my knee and shit. So.
Did you end up going to DePaul, though?
I went on the college tour there. Like, I went to possibly sign my letter of intent, but my coaches had took me around multiple schools in Chicago that were, like, interested in me playing for them. And at the time, my brother was with me, so I was like, look, John, let's go to Columbia and see what's up. Like, I heard about this school. I want to see what's there. And it was a bunch of weird shit that I'd never seen before. And I'm like, bro, I'm trying to go here. He was like, what? Ain't no basketball team here. What you gonna do? And I was like, I'm gonna make it.
Yeah.
And I went to Columbia. I actually got a full ride second semester of my freshman year, and I was on, like, the dean's list. I, like, searched through scholarships, literally. When I tell y'all I study everything, I literally study everything to find out how I can do what it is I'm trying to do.
Wow.
And I did.
And how long did you stay at Columbia for?
I graduated in 2013.
You're the first person on this podcast who's graduated from that college.
And maybe like the third person I've ever met who's graduated from Columbia.
Yeah
maybe also the first for me.
Maybe, yeah like, quite could be.
I mean, you could finesse Columbia too. You just got to know what you're doing.
None of these people know, I guess. All I hear is people hate it.
Well, so what gives you that sense of research, discipline, studiousness? How did you, I mean, that seems also on brand for a producer who is in part digging for, you know, the various instrumentations you're pulling together to lace a track. But how did you get studious like that?
I was always by myself, and I was always, like, curious of everything. So if I couldn't find it on the internet, if I couldn't ask somebody, I literally just, like, found a book and read it, like, highlighted it, wrote it down, took a picture, anything I could possibly do to know what it is that I need to know.
And so when you were at Columbia and you then were in Chicago, you were living here, moving here, what was the beginning of your process of getting to know the city and the cultural landscape and the music scene like? Who were some of your, you know, first introductions to the scene and some of your peoples?
Bro, I actually, my brother went to DePaul, so he graduated from there, and I used to, like, came out here for him because I initially was gonna go to, like, Phoenix and go to school out there, but it was too hot.
Yeah it's very, very
but
warm.
Jonathan had, like, took me to a lot of Kappa parties and shit. He was a Kappa, my daddy was a Kappa, so I initially thought I was gonna be, like, part of, like, the Divine Nine, but I just couldn't go. I could not go. But that was my first look at Chicago, and then I was like, man, I don't want to hang out with you no more. I'm about to go figure out something at my school, like some weird people. That's what I came up here for. Like,
right,
the weird people. I need to be around them because I'm weird too. And I just started going to, like, Columbia shows and parties and stuff and open mics and stuff, and I would just get to know people.
Yeah.
For real, yeah.
And who are some of the folks that you, because I feel like you are, you know, you are cool with a lot of different peoples, and you have to be given, you know, the line of work that you
the
are.
The first person I initially met in the Chicago scene was Saba. He was the first one that was around by the time where he had put out Established Niggas, and I hit him up and was like, bro, This song is amazing. Like, can I come over and hang out?
And you met him prior to that, or you heard the song and you just hit him?
No, I heard the song and just hit him. He wasn't like hard to reach. And I was like, who is this girl on here? And it was John Doe.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, like, I have to meet y'all. Like, what's up? And he invited me to his crib. I was a rapper at that time, so he was recording a song.
Oh, okay.
That you were on,
bro. He sent me a message, like a text message, and he was playing send that song, and I was like, bro, I would literally kill you if you don't delete this song off of your computer. So he has no, yeah, please. Yeah. Don't.
We'll play it at the end of this episode.
Please do.
Please don't.
Fair. All right, we will not. But so that's dope, right? Yeah. So you went to his grandma's basement.
Yep.
Hung with him, recorded with him.
I used to record out of Classic Studios too, like when it was in his mama's basement.
Yeah.
And like Headache would record me, but Classic was always cool. That's like who had the lead direction in putting out my project and stuff, so
right,
you know what I'm saying.
And so right, and so we'll get there, and I want to we'll get there pretty soon, because yeah, I want to talk about Study Hall and mm-hmm. and your relationship to Classic and what you'll be doing. When did you kind of put down the mic and focus on getting other artists' production?
I would say about like 5 years ago.
Okay. And because your heart just wasn't in it in that way?
Yeah, and I felt like if I focused more on, like, producing, that I could, like, really be great and make great music and, like, put people on tracks that ain't never been on tracks with each other before and, you know, just actually tell my story through actual music and, like, feeling. I wanted to feel my music.
So your name.
Yeah.
I mean, you are, I want to say you're, like, ambient, but mm-hmm. you're not, I mean, you're, like, your music's softer, you mm-hmm. know, or more like subdued.
Yeah.
Is that?
I smoke weed.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel me? Like, I definitely twist up before I sit in front of the computer for forever and tweak stuff out. But ambi is also, you know, you could put it into ambient, because I actually think that I always gravitate more towards ambient sounds more than anything. So.
Yeah. When you do sit to compose,
mm-hmm.
How are some of the ways, so you know, twist up, what are some of the ways you get into finding the sound? Where are you pulling sounds from? Where are some of the spaces that your ears are bringing in? I mean, because you're not playing everything yourself, obviously.
No. Some of it is either sample, or if, like, I hear something that I know I can't play, I'll contact Wax. Wax Roof is, like, somebody who was a consistent collaborator on Study Hall, so. Or I'll ask somebody, or I'll ask the artist, what do you hear? What do you think we should put in there? Like, that's the benefit of actually having the artist in the studio with you, as opposed to, like, sending them beats.
Yeah.
So are you making the beat while they're sitting there, or you already have the beat made?
Sometimes I'll like send them a rough, and they'll send back like footnotes of what we could change, or like what they hear in there. Or most of the time, I do like to be in the studio, just because you get so much more out of it by actually being there. Yeah.
Yeah. Study Hall. So you do have a brand new project out called Study Hall.
Yeah.
Is it your debut?
I guess. Everybody's calling it that, so I guess, I mean, I should just follow suit. But I did have a project before that came out, which was, like, kind of what opened the doors for me to be able to reach out to certain artists and be able to work with them, was your music. But Study Hall is definitely my baby.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to the researching and...
Yeah.
Kind of being a student of the...
Yeah, because I didn't record anybody on your music. Boog, actually. Boog from them.
Yeah,
people.
I was going to say, like, you've done... Yeah.
So, like, I just took what I learned from him and, like, Elton and, like, different artists that I've been in the studio with, and was like, look, I actually have, like, 4 notebooks that's full of nothing but notes. Like, Saba thought I was crazy when he saw this book. Like, he literally opened the book and was like... My head is hurting. Please take this
What's the notebook?
Like, Book had gave me this engineering book. I literally read it twice from front to back cover and, like, highlighted everything, ripped out pages, like, photocopy pages and, like, certain things and frequencies that I'm supposed to know just so I could actually have the balance and sound that I want in my music. And I wrote it down. I drew pictures of, like, all right, this is how my speakers got to sit and, like...
Mm.
I'd be going crazy.
So, like, you're an engineer too?
I guess. I don't really want to call myself that until I completely perfect it, or like feel like I'm at a level to where, you know,
you deserve
the
But self-taught through the homies, or is that what you studied at Columbia?
No, hell no. Okay. Columbia ain't teach me nothing. Bro, yeah. I don't even know what I learned.
What was
your degree?
Early
What?
Early childhood education and audio engineering with a minor in American Sign Language.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's so I mean, I took like a few classes for audio engineering,
but not what you learned.
Literally learned by myself, like through books and YouTube. YouTube University is my best friend.
That's real.
I mean, but you're a teacher. Yeah. So you know, at least you're using
your degree. Shout out to my kids.
Yeah. Wait, where do you teach?
Chicago's Children's House.
Uh huh. And what do you do there?
I'm a pre-K teacher.
Wow.
Yeah, and I teach my kids sign language.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I could teach y'all if y'all need
some. Yo, I know some sign language.
What's up?
I know this. This is the big sign. Well, no, I know a few things, but this one I love.
Bullshit.
Yeah. And then also, like, what's this?
Confusion?
No, damn. What this? I'll tell you this one I love, though. What's that?
I don't know what you're doing.
Daydream?
Okay.
Isn't that what it is?
No, your finger should be the other way.
Okay. Yeah, right? But isn't that so beautiful? Yeah. It really is. Like, for a daydream. Yeah, I know for the radio audience, listening audience, they're like, this is trash radio.
I will describe it. You know what I mean? I'll describe it.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, he is twirling his hand out of his head.
Right, go crazy.
Yeah. But that's lovely. So pre-K, I mean, these are little ass kids.
Yep.
They're like five, four?
Three and a half and four.
Damn. How do you get them to do anything, much less learn a language?
I could actually tell them voices off and they will speak to each other in sign language. You could actually teach kids younger than older just because it's so easy to mold their mind and they remember everything. So if you could, like, say you're washing your hands, if you had a song for everything that you did, you would remember everything that you did, right? Because you like that song.
Yeah, right. So that's why the Yankee Doodle, when you like brush your teeth
or
some shit.
Man, I promise you, I literally sing anything. I don't care how I sound. I don't care what I'm teaching them, what they're doing. I'm be like, this is how the truck goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to make sure that they understand what they're doing.
So you teach sign language, which is interesting because you also make things for the ear,
mm-hmm.
right? So how did you get into signing? Or why did you get into signing?
My middle school and high school were connected, and we had a lot of deaf and hard of hearing kids, so we had to take sign language classes in order to be able to communicate with them because they wanted them to feel like they were a part of the school.
Mm.
That's dope.
And once I got to Columbia, I was like, oh, that's cool. They offer that. I mean, I know how to speak it, so I might as well just take it, get an
A. So you're already fluent.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, I might as well take it, get an A, get this money.
Then you could be like, you know, I saw this one video of this white woman signing a rap song. It was really weird. Oh. But.
Yeah. I'm down to do like the little concerts and stuff. I just feel like I'm too like introverted to do that shit. Just because
it is a performance.
You gotta perform.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah, that's true.
It's beautiful when you see it.
Yeah. And the thing that was weird to me was like most interpreters, like when they're signing, they don't speak out loud. They just use their lips. Like they allow you to read their lips too. So it's like this weird sound that I be making because I be moving my hands too fast and like speaking. And I'm just like, nah, man, I can't do that. People looking at me.
So study hall. Let's talk about the project. It's dope. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You worked with a lot of folks on it. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the folks that you are on this project?
Via Rosa, John Doe, Saba, Smino, Wax Roof, No Saddam,
LA Van Gogh. One of the illest songs on the project. That song is
absolutely
incredible. I've been literally like in the morning, appropriately so, but playing that track to make me motivated to deal with this cold ass Chicago weather.
Man, the videos were out too.
I've not seen the video.
It ain't came out yet.
Yeah, when's that coming?
Sooner than soon. I still got to drop this video with Sean too. I know I was supposed to drop it on like 314 day, but okay.
He's from St. Louis too.
Yeah, we had to get some shit in order, so I was just like, nah, I can't put that out like that.
So the project's only been out for how long?
What's today?
It is
Thursday?
I don't know.
The
Thursday.
The fifth. 3 days.
Right.
It came out on Monday.
It came out on the 2nd.
Word.
Oh,
right.
Monday.
Yeah, which Monday. Monday. Yeah. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So far, I mean, what's the response like? How are you feeling? I mean, what?
I think it's been received well. Like, a lot of people have been telling me, like, hey, I really like your project. And I'm just like, thank you so much. Like, I don't really know how to respond yet. I'm not like, I'm a producer. I'm not like an artist. So it's like, I mean, that's an artist. Sorry. But it's like, I'm not like the face of anything.
Right, you're that not. Makes sense. Yeah.
Like, so it's like weird.
I just feel like it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks, Tara. That you was so nice.
But you know, the way I know you is because you did the Safe and Sound tape with LA, you know, so it's cool you're doing your thing.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, I think one of the things I want to ask about is that, and this has recently come up, I feel like, in our community, is that there has been visibly a lack of women producers. And in the genre itself, it's still, you know, terrain, particularly for, you know, for queer folks, for women to be making, creating in this space. And so how has that been for you? And is that something that you're, you know, perpetually conscious of in, you know, our community?
I definitely, like, make sure that, like, however I represent myself, that I put my woman foot first, my black woman foot first, like, and I make sure that whoever I work with respect that and understand that, like, you are in the presence of a black woman and you need to respect me as such, as if I'm your sister, your mama, and if you don't respect them, then now I get me as your friend, I gotta help you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't let you be out here like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been asked this question so much that I'm like, all right, cool. This is perfect, because I really want to touch on the subject of women being in, like, a male-dominated field.
But also, like, I just feel like there's not a, like, I think I tweeted this too, but how, where are all the women producers, you know? Where are all, like, the women
crews?
They're
there, but there's also, you have these male.
But there's very few and far in between, you know? All
right, I'm going to put it like this, because you're a writer, correct?
Yes.
So if you're in a room with a bunch of males that also write, and you put out the best idea, depending on the men that's in the room, they're going to be like, all right, cool, we should do this. So it then takes away your face, your credit of, like, what you're saying that you want to put forth, and, like, hey, this is an idea that I think would be good. And as a writer, you would want to be credited for your work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most men just take accountability for things that other people have done. And it's like, all right, we're going to say it's a collective thing, or we're going to say it's just mine. Like, even when people ask for female vocals.
Right. A lot of the times they don't.
Right.
They don't,
or they don't
them.
Even. Yeah, they don't attribute them.
Or
yeah.
not even pay them.
Yeah. Right.
Not even send out split sheets to them. Right. They're just the harmonies anyway. So whatever. We could either take it out or just, like, get an instrument to, like, substitute for it. But even still, it doesn't sound as good. So it's like, why not push so that we can have more of this in our world that we honestly need? Because I feel like if you saw more and if you were around it more, it would be less of, oh, well, I just heard that Fabulous punched his girlfriend's teeth out or stuff like that. Like, if you're around, you know how to understand, you know how to handle certain things, or maybe you don't, like, because there are mental illnesses and there are things that, like, prevent you from being able to understand certain things. But I just feel like the more you practice something, the more accustomed you become to it.
And let's be honest, women run shit
on me.
On God.
On everything.
Everything. And also run everything.
Right.
You know,
me,
yeah,
like,
yeah. yeah. And should, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, yeah. because
no,
are much
wild.
More capable and better and fresher than dudes.
Man, you understand.
Man, also, dudes always be out here, like, flaunting all their shit and all the women doing all the work silently, not saying anything.
Man, like, I literally did an interview this morning and I gave a comparison. I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy some chains, like, but it's not going to be like the chains that you're thinking of. Like, I'm gonna buy my neighborhood back. Like, I'm gonna buy things that are actually, like, resourceful to my community. Like, that's my goal. Like, my first thing to do is, like, I want to open up my own school that, like, completely has every part of the arts that you can think of, because I feel like that's needed. And I feel like we need more grocery stores in our neighborhoods. Like, if you go anywhere in St. Louis, like, in the city, you're going to find more vacant buildings than neighborhoods.
Right.
And I don't think that's fair, because you don't have nothing to do, which is why I could, like, relate. Like, all right, cool. Like, when I was a kid, I ain't had nothing to do. Like, I was bored, which is why I did dumb shit, because I was bored.
Of course.
So,
yeah, if there's limited resources and spaces to go, you're going to invent drama.
I mean. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But there was also, like, safe havens. Like, we had, like, a candy store lady, like, Yateman corner store. The corner store, you feel me?
Right, like, yeah. You know, well, which, like, is also a community center in neighborhoods in part, right?
You
they
know
are
what I'm
safe havens.
Like, we need those. We need those to actually, like, be able to move how we trying to move productively. And, like, I feel like it creates more of a community, like a family. You can feel that. And I feel like, most of the people that are here are talking about, like, all right, man, I just got like $4,000 off this track. I'm about to go get a grill, or I'm about to go do something that completely flushes my money down the sink or down the toilet, excuse me, and just like doesn't put back anything. But these kids see I'm shining. Like on my first project, it was a Black Ice skit at the beginning where he basically said, like, I don't give a fuck how good you flowing if you're not putting nothing positive back into the community, or yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care who you are. If you're not doing nothing that's positive, that's like, I don't even know. Like, why do you have all this money and you're not doing nothing with it that like could actually like feed your kids when you leave, or like feed your community, and you could drive down the street and be like, oh yeah, hey, I own that.
I think it's one of the inspiring things about this generation of Chicago mm-hmm. musicians is that they are civically minded in this way, and there mm-hmm. seems to be an increasing dedication to, you know, and responsibility to the community. When you think about that for yourself, do you think about St. Louis? Do you think about Chicago? I mean, is your plan?
I think about both. Yeah. Like, St. Louis is the front porch, Chicago the back porch. And nice. I gotta make sure I take care of both.
That's dope.
Me?
I like
yeah.
that.
So, that's absolutely really beautiful.
Especially because I feel like Chicago gave me my platform to be able to say or do anything. So why not? Why not? Because y'all got them too. I literally live on the South Side, so I
yeah.
see it.
Yeah, it's the same conditions yeah. that yeah it, you know, folks mm-hmm. deal with. Are you moving back and forth between the cities fairly regularly? Or you
now? I've been getting like shows back there, and it's just like, all right, cool. And like we're about to start doing stuff for the summer for the city and stuff. So absolutely.
Oh, tight.
That's yeah. great. Yeah. And so, what is the plan with the EP? I mean, are you going to go on a tour? Or are you going to? I know there's a big show coming up, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Kevin is hosting.
Which I'm honored to
Kevin
be a part
hosting.
Of. Listen,
and I will be there because also okay, my roommate's
okay.
DJ.
Hey, okay.
King Marisa DJ yeah.
and my roommate.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And
she's
her
also
DJ.
My DJ.
And also, and her DJ.
She's your roommate.
But yeah, I mean, or is the plan to put it out and then also, you know, begin to kind of build with individual artists, get people beats, sell beats, and essentially.
I'm about to go somewhere. You know, I'm gonna let you guys know at the show, but okay. I'm gonna go somewhere with the project, but I do have like other stuff that I am working on. I actually have like another project in my pocket too.
There you go. So, once you get it kind of going,
yeah, exactly.
I definitely always keep
how
one
soon?
In the chamber.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
You should.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're a smart yeah, samurai. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Are you? How soon is that gonna drop?
I want to say summer, but then I got great. Like summer singles that. Will
oh,
pop
wow.
off too. So,
smart.
You know what I'm saying? But
yes.
if not, you know what I'm saying? You could definitely expect it like fall or winter. But even still, I'm going to stay consistent. You're going to see me.
Yeah.
I'm not going nowhere.
Well, that's been the nice thing even about, you know, the trajectory mm-hmm. in the last little bit is that you were releasing these
yeah,
like very
yeah.
hot singles, some of which appeared on Study Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, oh, she made that beat too? Damn.
Right.
Okay. You know.
And that's what's crazy. People always be like, oh, you made this? Like, why is it so surprising that I made these beats, man? I'm so raw.
You are very raw. Who are some of the folks that you're working with that maybe are not on the project and some of the folks you want to work with coming up?
PhemDot.
Mm. Raw.
I have some stuff with Felix.
Great.
Yeah.
Who else? I have some stuff.
You know Tar Raps under
tar,
the yeah Young
stuff.
Noodle Cup. Young Noodle Cup.
Young Noodle Cup.
Yeah, sorry.
Young Noodle Cup.
Noodle Cup.
Listen, yeah, you know the drop.
Man, I really, I'm going to keep putting this out in the universe. I really want to work with Xavier Omar. Like, his manager had tweeted some shit out, like, hey, I'm trying to work with, like, a female producer, or Xavier Omar needs beats, but we only want stuff from a female producer. I hate that shit, too, but I'm like, all right, who else are you going to go to? Like,
right.
come on, holler at me. And my friend Namesake, he DJs for Pink Caravan.
Oh,
I don't
know
if
Namesake,
you guys
yeah.
know
oh, yeah.
him or not.
Yeah. Well, I know Pink Caravan because I've been doing my homework for
yeah,
your show,
yeah.
and I'm so excited
she's,
for... Oh, my, she's
this,
raw.
This is her first Chicago show. I'm
yeah.
really excited
yeah, yeah, me
to
too.
Bring Pink Caravan
damn,
out
dope.
She's really raw.
Yeah.
And she used to have a llama. Like, she used to bring llamas to her show.
What do you
oh,
mean?
Not like a llama.
Bruh, like a llama.
Not
like
a...
Like the animal.
Oh, okay. I thought...
An
I thought,
actual
yeah.
llama?
Yeah, she had a llama at
not like a burner.
On a leash.
What?
I swear to you.
She rented that shit.
I mean, whatever. I ain't got a llama.
I'm just like, you have a llama? It's like, you have a pet llama?
If I pop up with like an ostrich, I'm not like, yo, that ostrich is rented.
Why?
You fake.
I don't know. I ain't asked no questions. I didn't even know her at the time. So
I ain't asked no questions.
I ain't know her at the time, but like, after going to like, and doing multiple shows with her, it was just like, yo, like, I need somebody from St. Louis on the show. And
oh, for sure.
Have you worked with her as...
I wish. No, not yet. We ain't really got a chance to sit down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the way.
Because that would be raw. I could hear that. Like, you know, paying attention to some of her music.
She might be on to something.
Yeah, no.
She going to be up here this weekend. So I'm saying. Like, you know, we could definitely get into the lab and do some shit. But nah, man, if y'all know Xavier, tell him... Come here.
What about Ninth? You ever reach out to Ninth or Bill with?
He retweeted one of my tweets before, but okay. That's about it. I love Ninth Wonder. I cry. I pass out.
Yeah, I feel like that's very possible. You
my
know?
My one question is, how do you know, as a producer, how do you like kind of piece together an album? You know, yourself when you're working.
This album, I went through so much, like. I don't know if you guys heard the voicemail. That's my auntie after No Saddam's track at the end, and she basically was like, "Look, like, what are you doing? Like, you done got into a relationship and completely lost yourself. Like, you not reaching out to us. You not checking up on us. You not DJing. We not hearing nothing." Like,
and that's real. That was a real ass.
It was a literal
message.
Like. And, like, no, in no way, shape, or form am I saying nothing bad about that person. It was just my own fault that I, like, went into this badass rabbit hole of just, like...
That's what happens.
You know what I'm saying? I just got caught up. Like, even my friends was telling me, like, hey, like, you need to check that shit off and get back to work. Like, for real, for real. And just going through, like, a lot of things. Like, even after that voicemail, like, I was like, all right, cool, like, we gotta be done. Like, I gotta get back to doing what I'm doing. And that's when I knew that LA's track had to come after that, because it's like,
yeah,
all right, cool, yeah. I done went
wake
through
up.
This shit. Like, I gotta wake the fuck up and shake it off. Like, cause he was one of the people that was telling me that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love you and I don't wanna see you going through this, or like sheltering yourself off with somebody. Like, take a minute and get back on it. And then, you know, unfortunately, the last track came after, you know, Walt passed away, and we were just like, dog, like, I don't know. Like, that was, like, one of the main people who told me, like, look, you got to finish your project. What you working on? What you doing? Like,
Walt Squeak, was telling you.
Yeah,
that.
Squeak, Walt, and Mello, like,
those are your people.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They always in my corner. Those are my brothers. Like, literally, like, they're always pushing me to
do
that.
Love you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love them, too, and it was just like... Whoa, like, when I got that phone call, it was just like, nah, this is not real. And, like, Saba was like, nah, like, this is definitely real. And he was like, I'm gonna call you back. Same night that Walt passed away. And the crazy thing is, like, the guy beforehand, like, and, like, Nichelle will tell you the same thing. Like, he was trying to rob Walt, but Walt was with me at a Halloween party. And basically, like... Walt didn't want to hang out with them no more. He wanted to go to the next party with us. And somehow, some way, he ended up in the car with them. And he called me and was like, yo, like, where you at? Like, can you come grab me real quick? Like, I'm trying to go with y'all to the next party. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. Like, I tell LA and Taylor, like, let's get in the car. Let's go. Like, let's go pick up Walt. I'm like, where you at, bro? Like, what's up? Like, where you at? And they weren't trying to tell him where he was at. So I was like, man, fuck that. Let's go, like, drive around and look for him. And we literally pulled up, and Walt was being robbed by them. And, like, me and Taylor got out of the car. Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? Like, and they, like, ran away.
Yeah.
And he got in the car and, like, went home, told his mom, tried to reach out to the guy on Facebook. And then he saw him on the train and was like, what's up? And shit just went left.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
That's a terrible story, but...
Yeah, no, but, I mean, it's real. Yeah, it's real.
You know what I'm saying?
How, I guess for you, because, you know, I mean, how has even this year been, mourning and...
Weird.
And, yeah.
Like, even just focusing and, like, just always looking and, like, listening and knowing that he's not there no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That shit is, like, a real hard thing to do or deal with, and I don't know. I don't know. That shit is weird. It's weird.
I think one of the powerful things of his legacy that will, you know, always maintain itself is he was everyone's cheerleader,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he stayed kind of instilling a sense of discipline and pushing people to put shit out and to grind and to really invest in themselves. And
even himself, he has so much in the chamber. He has
absolutely.
So much on deck.
Still got Walt verses on my computer, so I know how Saba's computer is.
Yeah. I know, and that little verse at the end of Prom King.
I literally, beautiful. I mean, I heard it before, but I wasn't expecting it, and I don't know. I was at work look, I got to take a minute. I got to get the fuck up out of here. Yeah. Which is probably why he told everybody to listen to it while you're by yourself type shit. Because it's so, you literally feel it. That track that I did with Via, him, and John Doe, that was the hardest track to get through because you felt it so much. That was the first time I ever felt my music. Mm. And it felt so...
Did it give you goosebumps?
It hurt. Yeah. More than anything, it hurt to see my friends going through the same pain, if not more pain than I was, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, because that was their cousin. John is my best friend and I DJ for her, so it's I can't push this verse out of you, but I need you to do this,
right?
And you know you gotta do it because we work like Walt like nobody
right.
else.
That's right. Yeah,
so,
that's right.
Yeah.
Producers that you outside of Ninth, mm-hmm. who now even who are folks that you
chase the money?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
I fuck with Chase, man, and he from the crib, so instantly had to say him off the rip. But producers that I like Chase the Money. I like Metro Boomin. He from St. Louis too. What the fuck? I like C6. C6, gave a lot of my sounds, hellas of my sounds. Like, my hard drive, it crashed.
Gave you kits and,
My hard drive, it crashed, and C6 pulled up on me real quick. You can have all of this. You can have everything. Them people, Bug, literally has taught me a lot of the things that I know, if not most.
He's a solid dude.
Yeah,
man.
You know what I'm saying? That's Grandpa. producers. Nah, that's really it.
And what else are you kind of right now garnering inspiration from? If it's music, words.
Have y'all seen that movie Waking Life?
Waking Life?
No. Yeah. Oh,
I think
yes.
It's very trippy,
that's
right?
That's the light switch.
The light switch. I like that scene where he was like, you can tell if you're dreaming.
I watched that so many times when I was younger. And then everyone was like, that's the gauge of whether you know you're dreaming or not. And then you'd go to sleep and see it.
Isn't it just a trip?
Animated.
A lucid dream.
Yeah, but they actually filmed it and just put animation on top of it.
That's tight.
You know what I'm saying? That shit takes forever.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Shit.
So that joint, anything that you're reading, watching,
I've been listening to Kari's new project, and I listened to Saba's new project.
Yeah.
I'm inspired by those.
Yeah, me too.
I watched Empire before I came here.
Okay. Cool. And where can people find you on the internet?
At AmbiLyrics _ at Ambi _ lyrics.
And will you spell it?
AMBI_LYRICS.
Yeah. Study Hall is out now.
Study Hall is out and alive. And it's going to be on all of the platforms by Monday.
Best.
I had to do some copyright and shit for that.
Of course. Take care of your business.
Lean on me lecture.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Shout out to Joe Clark.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I love that part.
Yeah. So, I mean, once you get it on iTunes, it won't be on there. The Joe Clark thing.
Okay. Fair enough. But you can get it on SoundCloud.
Yeah. Right. Everything on SoundCloud.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Sunday. Come out to Sub T for an after school special. Classic Studios and myself put it together. It features MFMLO, Kari, Pink Caravan, DJ King Marie, Finesse Fest, and it's hosted by Kevin Koval.
I mean, listen, you know they're sure to be popping.
I got a band. My bad. I got a band. It's a band that's playing with me, and it's Dax, Sam Trump, and Wax Roof.
Oh,
let's
dang.
Get it. We going.
Yo, yeah.
Come on, we going.
All right. It's going to be fire. Yo, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We're so excited for Study Hall, your project out
you.
Now, and also for everything to come.
Hell yeah.
Salutes, man.
Thank you so much. Bye, y'all.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Nelson for the logo and art.
Big up, WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast, consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.